really something that God's put on my heart to talk about tonight. It's prayer and how important it is in our lives. Why is it important? Why is it important? What's it for? And there's three parts of this, or four parts of this. Is number one is the why, number two is the what for, the number three is the how, and the number four is don't forget the why. Amen. Because we need to, you know, we have these needs. We have these needs that come in our life. And there's a why to them, right? Why we need to pray. And there's a lot of scripture that talk about prayer. It talks about prayer. It's a communication. And why is communication so important? Why is communication so important? I heard a story yesterday that just really, really got to me about why communication is so important. And I want to share that. I had to really send out a lot of, had my thumbs a working to find this story, but I found it. And so I'm going to read you this story about why communication is so important. And the story goes like this. The story is told of a lady who was rather old-fashioned and always quite delicate and elegant. Especially in her language, she and her husband were planning a week's vacation in Florida, so she wrote a particular campground that they wanted to go to, asking for reservations. She wanted to make sure the campground was fully equipped, but didn't quite know how to ask about the toilet facilities. She just couldn't bring herself to write the word toilet in her letter. After much deliberation, she finally came up with the old-fashioned term, bathroom commode. But when she wrote that down, she still thought she was being too forward. So she started all over again and rewrote the entire letter referring to the bathroom commode merely as BC. She writes, "Does the campground have its own BC?" That's what she actually wrote. Well, the campground owner wasn't old-fashioned at all, and when he had got the letter, he just couldn't figure out what the woman was talking about. That BC, he just couldn't understand it. It just really stumped him. And after worrying about it for a while, he showed the letter to several campers and several other people, and they just couldn't figure it out either. They couldn't imagine what the lady was talking about. So the campground owner finally coming to a conclusion that the lady must have been talking about the local Baptist church. So he wrote the following letter to reply. "Dear Madam, I regret very much the delay in answering your letter, but I now take pleasure in informing you that a BC is located 9 miles north of the campground and is capable of seating 250 people at one time. I admit it is quite a distance away, and if you are in the habit of going regularly, but no doubt you will be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunches along and make a day of it. They usually arrive early and stay late. It is such a beautiful facility, and the acoustics are marvelous." I'm sorry, I can't help it. I'll catch my breath here. "Even the normal delivery sounds can be heard." Okay. "The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago." I can't even read this. Okay. "The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago, and it was so crowded we had to stand up the whole time. We were there. It may interest you to know that right now a supper is planned to raise money to buy more seats. I would like to say it pains me very much not to be able to go more regularly, but it surely is no lack of desire. I can't even read this. As we grow old, it seems to be more of an effort, particularly in cold weather. If you do decide to come down to our campground, perhaps I could go with you the first time to go and sit with you and introduce you to all the other folks. Remember, this is a friendly community. Sincerely, campground owner. Oh my goodness. That was so funny, I had to share it. I can't even hardly read it without laughing. But you know, communication is so important. And you know, our communication with God is through prayer. I mean, that's how we can communicate with Him, and how important is it that we do that? Now, thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit that fixes our words. You know, when we don't know what to say, He fixes our words, and so God hears what comes from our heart. But this prayer, you know, why is it important? Why is it a necessity? Why is it necessary? Number one, the why. Because Jesus did. Number one, Jesus prayed. It was necessary for Him. Well, He was God. He was, you know, God in flesh. He was Jesus. Why was it important for Him to go away and pray? Was it just as an example? But He went away alone many times to pray. And we look at, look at 1 Samuel 12:23. He says, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right." You know, that right there hit me when I saw what Samuel said there about I should sin for not praying. Man, I thought, really? That's pretty... That brings it down to being pretty serious there. It's like, you know, if I don't pray for you, it's a sin. Man. Let's look at Luke 6:12. It says, "One of those days Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." See, there's Jesus going out to pray. This is Jesus doing that. Luke 11:1 says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place." There again, Jesus is praying. "And when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray.'" Matthew 26:40. It says, "Then He returned to His disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you men keep watch with me for an hour?' He asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fail or fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Man, I thought about that. He said, "Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation." Now, how important is it that for us to pray? You know, that really hit me again with how important it is and how it is a necessity that we pray, because if we don't pray and communicate with the Father in heaven, we can fall into temptation. He goes on to say, "He went away a second time and he prayed, 'My Father, it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it. May Your will be done.'" I love that little prayer there. And when He came back, He found His disciples sleeping again. And you know, He is so patient with us. He is so patient with us. But why should we pray? We should pray because that's what Jesus, He instructed us to do this. He told His disciples here, "You pray so that you're not tempted, so that you don't fall into that temptation." That's the why. That's the why. There's others out there that need prayer. Samuel says, "You know, it's a sin if I don't pray for you. You know, if I don't pray for you." these things just really hit me. How important is it to prayer? You know, the statistics say, you know, Dr. Brian Powell, when he spoke yesterday, he mentioned a statistic, which is about prayer. And I remembered that. And he said the average, I guess, was 5 minutes corporately. 5 minutes. It wasn't a day, was it? It was a week. In a church. Now, I'm not saying that every church is like that, and I'm not saying every individual is like that, because I know people who pray, and they pray more than 5 minutes. But that kind of hit me. You know, the average was 5 minutes a week that a church takes time to pray. And I think about that when we pray. Even here, you know, we start off the service with a little prayer. You know, we end the service with a little prayer. We say a little prayer here and there. But when you calculate really the time, amount of time that is, corporately, it's really not that much. It's really not that much. And so the why is because Jesus did, because Samuel said is important, and all the scriptures say that it is important. It is important to us. The what for? Matthew 5:44. Let's look at Matthew 5:44. He says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Pray for your enemies. That's the what for. We have to pray for our enemies. That's kind of hard to do sometimes, to pray for somebody that doesn't like you, right? It's really hard to do. But he says, pray for your enemies, for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father. People will know you for who you are, even by the way you pray. Amen? Let's look at Mark 11. Mark 11. I found there's scripture, multitudes of scripture in every chapter, every book. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And it says, they approached Jesus, or they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you entered it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Am I in the right place? 11:1, verse 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I've got this marked wrong right here. I've got it marked right here, but wrong here. But he says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Amen. Whatever you've asked for. Let's look at Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Okay, I'll get this right. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. He knows us. You know, and He knows that we're messed up people, and sometimes we don't think quite straight. Sometimes we're looking at 11:1 instead of 11:26 or whatever. But He takes these prayers, He takes our words, and He makes them right. You know, and that's a wonderful thing right here, because I know I don't know what to say sometimes. You know, you get in certain situations, things happen, and you just don't know what to say. But God knows the desire of your heart. He knows where your heart is. And this what for is, we have these things in our life. We have these issues that come up in our life. And that's the what for. You know, we go to God with these things. He knows what we need. He knows what we want too, but He knows our needs, and the needs are the things that He'll supply. The needs is what He'll supply. He won't always supply the wants. You know, because we can want a lot of things. But there are certain things that we need, and I need Him. I need Him every day, and I find that out more and more every day. Because without Him, I wouldn't be here tonight for sure. Without Him, that desire, that push, that motivation to say, you know, I know He's got me. I know He'll take care of me. He won't forsake me. He hears my prayers. He gives me strength. Amen? That's the what for. He can say the words that need to be said. Amen?
Amen.
James 5. James chapter 5. Way back here in the back. Here now, I'm being slow. James chapter 5, we'll start in verse 13. I think is what she got. Is anyone among you in trouble? I like what it says there, in trouble. Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Listen to that. Your prayers mean something. Your prayers mean something. It means something to me when you're praying for me, and I hope you know that it means something for you when I'm praying for you. And if we believe that in faith, just like Brother Curley said, it took 2 weeks for him to pray that, but it happened, didn't it? Amen. He's able to be here, and that's a, man, that is wonderful. Man, that's a wonderful thing. I know, like I said, I told you about what happened to me this week. That blessing that was given to me is something I'd been praying about. Now, you know, like I said, I've got other things that need to be taken care of, but God took care of that one. God took care of that one because that was a need that I need. That was a need. It wasn't a want, it was a need. Let's go on to the how. I like the how. Matthew 6 talks about it, and also talks about it in Luke. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the streets, corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. It says, but when you pray, listen, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. This, then, is how you should pray. If you want to read this with me tonight, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if we forgive other people, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You hear that? That's pretty tough right there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
So that's how we should pray. I like that part about getting to yourself. getting alone. I hope you have a lone place, a place that you can go and shut the door or go out away from everybody else. And that's what Jesus did a lot. Jesus didn't pray right there with everybody. Why didn't he just stay there and pray with his disciples? He didn't. He talks about how he got away. And you know, we have all these distractions, right? We have all these things that go on in life. We have all these things that we're always thinking about. And you know, it's hard to pray when all these things are going on around you. You know, and I know what it's like when you got your kids around you and they're talking and they're carrying on, or your husband is, or your wife is, and they're dealing with daily life things. You know, you can't pray. You can't really pray when all those distractions are going on around you. And even like, you know, I find myself praying a lot when I'm going down the road, but even with that, it's like Dr. Powell even made that comment. You really can't focus on prayer when you're driving down the road. It's not really safe. You know? But it's those alone times. It's when you get alone with God. It's when you get out away from all the distractions and clear your mind and open up your heart. And you just speak to Him, and you don't even have to say anything because He knows what your heart. He knows your heart. He knows what you need. He hears you. And you can just pray. Let's look at Jude. This is the fourth. Don't forget the why. Why we should pray. It's the last book before, it's back there in the back. I mark all these. If you'll look at Jude 17 and 22, it says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles, our Lord Jesus Christ, foretold. They said to you, 'In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires.' These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by the building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire." Listen to that. That's another message right there I could preach. "To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." Said, pray. Keep yourselves in God's love by praying. Keep yourself in God's love by praying. Praying is a necessity. To me, it's not an option. I have to get alone with Him, and I have to pray. I have to feel His presence. I have to be in the Spirit. It's the only way that I can exist. It's the only way that I can do what I do. It's the only way I can preach and feel confident about it. Because then, if I'm not prayed up, if I'm not doing that, then I don't need to be up here. And that's the way I feel. I feel like it'll just be words that nobody will understand or hear. It'll fall on deaf ears. To me, it's a necessity. And to you, it's a necessity. In Philippians 4, chapter 4. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. I'm gonna go back to, it's so good. I'm gonna read verse 4. It said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, listen to this, in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen to that. That's why it is a necessity to pray and to communicate with God. Because those prayers, He guards our hearts. He gives us what we need. He gives us those things. He says, if you'll trust in me and you'll ask in faith, I'll give it to you. You know, and I know that, you know, there's things that I've asked for and I thought it was a need. I really did. I prayed hard. I thought it was a need. And it didn't ever happen. Those things do happen. But then I've had things that I've prayed about and it happened. But God shows His glory in all that. He gets the glory for all that. But it's that faith to know. I have faith. Those little blessings that He gives me increases my faith in knowing that, you know what, He's got me. If He didn't meet that need right now, then there's a reason for it. And if He meets it sometime down the road, praise the Lord. And if He doesn't, He'll tell me why in heaven maybe. But most likely, I won't care. Once I get to heaven, it won't matter anymore, right? It won't matter. That's what we're, you know, here, like we talked about this morning, this is just a temporary place. We're just here for a short time to do His will. And His will is praying and saving people, trying to. You know, He said, snatch people out of the fire, that scripture said. Snatch people out of the fire. You know, and I know I've said this probably before, but you know, there's not one of us here that if our neighbor's house was on fire and we knew that their family and their children were in that house, wouldn't do anything and everything to get them out of there. You'd do whatever it took. I've watched videos of people knocking car windows out with their arm and their hand and cutting themselves all up just to try to save somebody from a burning car in such urgency. But yet, we walk by people every day who are dying and going to hell, and we don't seem to be concerned. And that's the urgency that we need to have for the lost people in this world. Jesus had that. He came here for those sick and afflicted people, the not so perfect people, the messed up people. That's where He found me. He got all that with me. The messed up, not thinking straight person. I know that's what He came for, right? So I challenge you guys. You know, Easter's coming up. You know, and I want to say this. Easter used to be one of our biggest days for attendance. And I know attendance is not everything. I believe I don't worry about the attendance. I don't worry about it because God will take care of the attendance. God will take care of that. Because if I'm doing my job, you're doing your job, that'll happen, right? But I will say this, from now to, and I want to go past that. I don't want to say now till Easter. Let's be diligent to pray. I don't want you to stop praying. But I want you to make an effort to pray more. I want you to make an effort to pray. To take time, no matter what time it is, take time out of your day to focus on, okay, I'm going to pray for my church today. I'm going to take 5 minutes. I'm going to take 3 minutes, and I'm going to pray for my church. Can you do that? Amen. Can I challenge you to do that? Can you take just a few minutes out of your day, whatever time it is? I know for some of you, you know, it may be 2 o'clock in the morning. But just pray. Pray for your church. Pray for each other. Pray for the one that's lost, neighbor, family member. Amen. Amen. Pray for them so that they may be able to, the veil may be pulled away so that they may be able to hear the word. Amen. If we would do that, if we would start praying more, that's all we have to do. It's not about program-based ministries. It's not about getting out and having some new program to bring people into the church. It's about praying people into the church. I heard a minister tell me one time, he said, the way you build a church is on your knees. That's how you build a church. It starts there first. It starts with the people praying. And when you pray and you ask, God will supply your needs. He'll supply your needs. And He'll be faithful. He'll hear your prayers. And I believe that with all my heart. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you every day. Please pray for me and pray for your church.